This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
We will definitely not burn the Quran.
If you could build a church on a site, you could build a synagogue on a site, if you could build a Hindu temple on a site, then you should be able to build a mosque on the site.
If I knew this would cause this kind of pain, I would not have done it. Given that, why don't you undo it, or at least do it differently from this point on?
We are exploring all options as we speak right now.
One can't prove that God doesn't exist, but science makes God unnecessary.
I can't help thinking that when Hawking talks about this grand design, the final theory that explains everything, doesn't that appeal at some level to the scientist's desire to be a bit like God?
Florida truck drivers love Issues Etc.
I'm struck by two things. One is how God keeps moving the mission field around. Today it's here, then it's the next place over. And the other thing that strikes me is the universal nature of the Christian faith. It transcends time, language, culture, tribe, you name it. We're going to be talking about Lutheranism around the world, continuing our series on that subject, talking about Lutheranism in West Africa here for the first half hour of Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon, 20th of September. Pastor James May will be our guest. A little bit later in the second hour of the program, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, no, actually here in the first hour, Deaconess Pam Nielsen will join us to talk about the famous story of Cain and Abel. We're going to spend the entire second hour of the program with Pastor Will Wheaton. He'll join us here in the studio to study the great Te Deum hymn, that means to God, and the hymn's title, We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, a modern setting of this ancient hymn. Luther said it was not only a hymn, it was a creed as well. Our call-in number on this Monday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Joining us to talk about Lutheranism around the world, in particular in West Africa, Pastor James May. He's been serving as a Lutheran missionary pastor in Africa since 2006, and he's director of Lutherans in Africa. Pastor May, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Reverend Wilkin. How are you?
I'm very well. I have no experience with Africa whatsoever as a continent, as a series of so many cultures and countries. What is, in terms of culture shock, what's the biggest difference from our experience here in the U.S.?
It's hard to pick one thing. Africa is so entirely different from America and from the West. But if I were to summarize one thing that makes them different would be that the way they think about people and relationships in the West, we're so individualized, whereas in Africa, everything is about community and thinking about family, relatives, friends.
Is much of Africa still tribal in its culture?
That's definitely the case. And if we were to talk about the different religions in Africa, and we know that Christianity there is there, and Islam is there. But even in those religions, the tribal influences into the religions is still so mixed into the religion that it can't be separated at this point in time. It'll take many generations.
So give us a religious breakdown, if you can. I know this is incredibly complex, but for the region where you generally serve in Western Africa, what does the religious breakdown look like?
When you go to West Africa, it tends to be more Muslim than Christian. Each country is a little different, but for instance, in Burkina Faso, it's about 80% are Muslim or traditional beliefs, and then about the remaining 15-20% are Christian.
And then if you were to break down the various confessions of faith within African Christendom, how would that generally look?
Well, in French-speaking West Africa, where I've done a lot of my work, the majority of Christians are either Catholics, because that was the religion that the French brought with them, or the Assemblies of God, that is a very large mission work for the Assemblies of God in America, and they've really made a lot of inroads there.
And we've talked with other African Christians in particular, Bishop Walter Obari of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Kenya, and he talks about, among the other things, Islam is a challenge there, but also this Pentecostalism. He says it really does present a tremendous challenge to confessional Lutheranism and its mission work there. How would you describe it?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and there's two reasons why that is so. One is because the Africans in general have a much greater belief in God, unlike what we have in the West. Everyone fears God, whether they're Christian or Muslim or traditional beliefs. That there are very few atheists or agnostics. Everyone is believing in God, and everything is assigned to them. And then the second reason is the amount of mission work that has been done. Very little teaching has been done. So the way the gospel comes over, it's very just very simplistic. Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. Now be a good person, which maybe is easy for Christian missionaries when they come over, but there's so many more questions concerning doctrine and life. And when people aren't being taught the answers or how to study, they just turn to other ways to answer those questions. And Pentecostalism and dreams and the way the Spirit speaks to them is usually the answer, unfortunately.
So how does your mission work differ from so much of the mission work that is done in West Africa? What's different about the way you approach it?
First of all, as far as mission work that's done throughout Africa, the majority of work is social projects. There's a lot of distribution of eyeglasses and medical clinics and AIDS clinics, and these are all done usually from Christian organizations. And also, for instance, I know with the World Relief and Human Care, they have this huge malaria initiative, and there's definitely a lot of these issues and problems that need to be addressed. Unfortunately, there's just very little teaching that is being done, and we really need to balance the two. When we look at the problems that the apostles had in Acts, we can't let our ministry be overrun by the social needs. We also have to spend time teaching the apostles a doctrine and informing pastors and teaching people the faith. So the way I approach it is the way I was taught at Fort Wayne, and that's starting with the catechism, which is I haven't seen any other person doing that. So there's no one going over there translating the catechism and teaching the catechism aside from Lutheran Heritage Foundation and people associated with them. And so this really gets them the foundation of the faith.
So to that end, I understand that there's an effort to translate the entire Book of Concord. Tell us about that.
Actually, this is a 13-year project that started when Robert Price had visited Nairobi, Kenya, and he was giving lectures on confessional Lutheranism. And he repeatedly was referring to the Augsburg Confession and the formula of Concord. And after the conference was over, many of the participants were asking, well, what is this Book of Concord? And, you know, this was a conference to Lutherans, and they'd never heard of the Book of Concord. And in fact, even today, when you go to the individual countries throughout Africa, many of them have never received a copy of the Book of Concord. They're just calling themselves Lutheran because the missionaries who came over were Lutheran, but they never taught anything about the Lutheran faith. So my predecessor, Dr. Antti Simioki, who's from Finland, he was appointed by by Robert Price to begin translating confessional materials into local languages. And the first project was the Book of Concord, but it proved to be a much bigger project than he first thought, and that had to do with teaching the different articles of faith. Now, after 13 years of hard work, the entire Book of Concord has now been translated, and we're currently doing the arduous work of translating the 180 so pages of indices and looking up all the references. And we anticipate that to be printed for the first time in the Kiswahili language. And this is very monumental because in East Africa, the number of people who speak Kiswahili in Uganda and in Rwanda, in Tanzania, and in Kenya is over 150 million people.
Wow. Defend this, if you would. Someone's going to say, look, what we need to be doing there is just that kind of evangelism. Let's get them Christians. We don't have to worry. We'll worry about the teaching later. And it's a waste of time, 13 years translating the Book of Concord for people in tribal culture and people who know nothing of Western Europe or Martin Luther. Your thoughts?
Right. Well, actually, I mean, the opposite approach is exactly what brings Pentecostals into the church. Because I've been to so many countries now. I mean, the area we're working in is not just Burkina Faso, not just Kenya, but we're working in about 20 different countries throughout Africa. And each place, you know, there's this idea that, oh, we need to get the gospel out and start as many churches as possible. And that's good. That's very good to have the desire to spread the gospel. The energy and the desire to share the gospel is just incredible in Africa.
When we come back, I sense there's a but coming to that statement. Yes, spread the gospel, but also make disciples by baptizing and teaching everything I have commanded you. We'll let Pastor James May of Lutherans in Africa finish that thought. On this Monday afternoon, September the 20th, I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Here's a great resource for Sunday school teachers. Mondays, we interview Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House about the upcoming Growing in Christ Sunday school lesson. You'll find these interviews under the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Listen to a 20-minute interview with Pam Nielsen, and you'll be prepared to teach Sunday school this weekend. issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand and look for Teaching a Sunday School Lesson with Deaconess Pam Nielsen.
Have you ever wanted to know about the origins of Issues, Etc.? Did you know church leaders were opposed to teaching the laity Reformation theology? Check out our new YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, issuesetc.org, and click support, equipping the priesthood of all believers. Watch the short YouTube video, You Can't Teach Lay People Theology, today. Just go to the support page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues, Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen on Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues, Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen on Demand page and click Share This.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues, Etc. around the world.
Hi, this is Ville calling from Finland. I believe the day will come when you cannot enter the office as a pastor in the ELCA unless you subscribe to the ordination of gays and lesbians. And why do I believe that? Because Americans are sinners like we Finns are.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are. Issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our guest, as we talk about Lutheranism in West Africa, part of our Lutheranism Around the World series today, Pastor James May. Has been serving as a Lutheran missionary pastor in Africa since 2006, and he's director of Lutherans in Africa. Pastor May, before the break, you were talking about how the enthusiasm for sharing the gospel in Africa is good, but is there more to it? What is the reality that you find when that gospel is shared with the Africans?
The churches grow so fast that when you speak with Bishop Abari, you'll hear the same thing, that each pastor is responsible for anywhere from 6 to 12 congregations. And he'll only visit those congregations once every 3 months, maybe once every 6 months. And the rest of the time, an evangelist who is not trained is the one who's leading the worship services. So now he's there, and he's responsible for leading that congregation on Sunday. And what is he going to teach? He's had no instruction at all. And this is exactly how Pentecostalism comes into all the churches.
Talk, if you would, Pastor May, about the unique challenges to mission work in West Africa.
Well, you know, it's been said many times that everywhere a church is planted, that Satan plants a chapel right next door. And in Africa, it's very, the work can be at times very rewarding, because many people are excited to hear about what Christ has done for them. And these churches do spring up and spread very fast. But as much and as powerful as the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts of people, Satan is just doing disastrous, mind-boggling things everywhere, from scandals inside the church, scandals outside of the church. I mean, murders, theft, all sorts of witchcraft, kidnapping. At times it can be very depressing, and also for missionaries, the work can also it can really burn you out, because there's just so much to do, and it's very important to try to take care of yourself. But at the same time, that's hard because there's so few missionaries over here.
Is there active opposition from Muslims or Muslim influence in government?
It varies. If you go, the closer you go towards Somalia, we have a lot of refugees from Somalia who attend our congregation. And from Somalia, they have persecution, where some of our members have beaten. They've had their children kidnapped. But for the most part, I would say that that's not the case. The most part, actually, Muslims are very open to hear the preaching of the gospel. Our opposition usually comes from imams and the leaders of the Muslim faith. So, for instance, when we were in Burkina Faso, in our first year and a half, we were each time we started a Bible study group, and we started to get larger, and the local imam would come and threaten either the school or the restaurant where we were meeting, and threaten the proprietor of that restaurant that if they didn't close the door, that he was going to cause problems for them. So from the leaders, we have problems, but from the individual Muslims in general, they're very friendly and willing to listen, and
Talk about the AIDS pandemic.
AIDS is, I think it's something that's very, for the Americans, it's something very shocking, and I think for the majority of people, think that is maybe the biggest problem. And it is very, very tragic and does take many lives. But at the same time, that's not the biggest problem. For instance, in Burkina Faso, the biggest problem is that people don't have clean water. A child dies in West Africa once every 6 seconds because they don't have access to clean water. And yet the millions of dollars that are sent to AIDS clinics, where in West Africa, the percentage of people with AIDS is lower, close to 5%. And yet you can go in town and find five different AIDS clinics. But the number of people, providing sanitation, clean toilets, clean water, it's very, very few.
I don't know exactly how to think about this, because I was. It may have been something that you put up on the internet, or someone associated with you put up on the internet. The actual number of Lutherans in Africa, as a total, all the countries of Africa, is mind-boggling. And if I'm not mistaken, exceeds that of Western Europe and the United States by a very fair margin. Is there a mindset among African Lutherans about Western Europe or the United States as a mission field for them?
You know, there's a couple of countries that have the majority of the, of those Lutherans. The biggest one, biggest two would be Tanzania and also in Madagascar. But in other countries, the Lutheranism is growing, and this is the reason, because when people find out about Lutheranism, that they're always skeptical, because they've had the Catholics have always been there and the Pentecostals have always been there. And when you go into a place, for instance, when I was in Burkina Faso, there had never been a Lutheran church anywhere in that country. There was one close to the border in Togo where we have a Lutheran church there. But as far as the center of the country, they'd never heard of Lutheranism. So when I came there, the first question is, well, are you a Protestant church or are you a Catholic church? I said, well, Lutheran church is a Protestant church. And their first response was, oh, so that means you don't drink, you don't baptize babies, and you speak in tongues. That was what their view of Lutheranism is. And when you say, well, actually, that's not what Lutherans believe. And when you start explaining what we believe and why we believe, Lutherans are always pointing towards the Bible, because this is what Scripture says. And people are so interested because they've never seen anyone pick up a Bible and say, this is what God says. So many times people have just been saying, well, this is what I think God thinks. So the reason Lutheranism can be very powerful, if taught in the right way, is because they go back to the Scriptures and people respect that as the Word of God.
In that vein, Pastor May, you've been a missionary in West Africa since 2006. Tell us briefly how you've witnessed God working through that very Word and His sacraments.
Yeah, I've seen amazing things happen. And for me, as I started in Burkina Faso, that is definitely a place that's just so encouraging for me. Again, I took the practices and theology that I learned at Fort Wayne, and these things were not readily accepted even by other Lutheran missionaries who were already on the field, and the basic one being teaching the catechism. And when I taught the catechism, I taught it the same way how I understood it was taught in, as you say, our grandfather's church. And that being that you went through the catechism, you taught each part of the faith, but also then those who wanted to be confirmed were to memorize the entire Enochridion. And this is also something I haven't seen in many other Lutheran churches, even in Tanzania or other places where the church is big. And when they memorized it, it took a while at the beginning. But by the time they had memorized it was about the time I left Burkina Faso, and we had only had about one congregation and a couple preaching stations at that time. But there were three men who were trained, there's four men who were trained. Three went to the seminary, and one stayed behind to lead the congregation. But because they memorized the catechism, they knew their faith so well, and they could defend it, that in the first year that I was gone, there's one little congregation with people who had memorized the catechism. The next year, they started four congregations. And just to see that the power of the Word of God working in people's hearts, you can talk to any other missionary. When the missionary leaves, 99.9% of the time, the congregations shrink for a time. And this, this congregation was not based on, because this is a foreigner who is bringing lots of money. But this was a person who was bringing them God's Word, and this is what they used as their tool and their source of their faith, God's Word.
Finally, then, if you would, tell us about Lutherans in Africa.
Lutherans in Africa is a teaching wing of Lutheran Heritage Foundation. Lutheran Heritage Foundation is doing a lot of translation and publication of confessional Lutheran materials throughout Africa. At the same time, those books that are published cannot just be put in a church building or a classroom and expect people to understand them. it'd be the same thing as sending your kids to school with no teacher and just a bunch of books. I mean, how would they learn? That they wouldn't be able to learn. So the goal of Lutherans in Africa is to train or to form African Lutherans to be teachers of the faith. So our seminars are usually focused towards pastors and these evangelists who've had little or no training. Give them these materials and then teach them what they mean, where the doctrine comes from in the Bible, why we believe what we believe, and then teach them how to teach it. And it multiplies the work.
Folks, you can find out about Lutherans in Africa at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Pastor James May has been serving as a Lutheran missionary in Africa since 2006. He's director of Lutherans in Africa, and he joined us live from Nairobi. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd. God's blessings.
Well, when we come back, we're going to spend our usual half hour on Monday with Deaconess Pam Nielsen of Concordia Publishing House. We always teach a Sunday school lesson with her. We've dealt with creation. We've dealt with the fall into sin. The next big story on the docket, famous one, Cain and Abel. What's it really all about? We'll be right back.
Thanks for sending us your email. Having produced Issues Etc. for more than 15 years, I can tell you that we've never received email response like this. Unfortunately, we simply can't reply to all of your email. So here's a way that I can almost guarantee a response to your question or comment. Call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8384. It's available for your questions or comments 24/7, 618-223-8384.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
We're churchmen, not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
An important project we have at Life Issues Institute is called Protecting Black Life. We're educating the African American community. The abortion industry is targeting them as a race. Over 60% of Planned Parenthood abortion mills are in black neighborhoods. Black woman's more than three times likely to have an abortion. Pro-abortion activists in the black community responded saying we're racist. It's sometimes a popular theme in the blogosphere, but one blogger silenced those critics by saying this: "A racist would think killing black unborn babies is a good thing. Why are the pro-lifers trying to stop it and save our babies' lives? If the pro-lifers were racist, wouldn't they enjoy this genocide and remain silent?" Contact us at today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org to learn more.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.